You see, my friend, the Christian life is a moving, growing, progressive thing. Every biblical analogy of the Christian's life implies progression and growth. Psalm 1 likens the godly man to a tree that has been planted. That tree is prosperous and productive. As it grows, it becomes a blessing to others. The Christian life is a journey, not an isolated event. But there are many things that can bring that walk with God to a standstill, and an unforgiving heart is one of them. I once heard a true story that took place during the Korean conflict. During the war, a Korean Christian, a civilian, was arrested by the communists and ordered shot. But when the young communist leader learned that the prisoner was in charge of an orphanage caring for small children, he decided to spare him and kill his son instead. So they shot the 19-year-old boy in the presence of his father. Later, the fortunes of war changed, and the young communist leader was captured by the United Nations forces, tried and condemned to death. But before the sentence could be carried out, the Christian whose boy had been killed pleaded for the life of the killer. He declared that he was young, that he really did not know what he was doing. "Give him to me," said the father, "and I'll train him." The United Nations forces granted the request, and that father took the murderer of his son into his own home and cared for him. Today, the young communist is a Christian pastor. What would cause a man to show such mercy to someone who had hurt him so deeply? I am afraid if someone had murdered my son for no reason, in cold blood, that I would want to get my hands on him for far different reasons. Training him would certainly not be what I would have had in mind. What causes a person to return evil with good? Viciousness with mercy, hatred with love. What we see in this true story is the power of forgiveness. And my friend, that forgiveness is the result of the power of the cross of Jesus Christ to change people's lives. If we want to know the power of the cross, if we want to see whether that cross still has the power to change lives today, if we want to know what the forgiveness of our sins really means and what it really costs, then we will know those things only as we forgive those who have wronged us. And only then will we begin to understand the full sweetness and power of the word forgiveness. As we forgive others, not only does it change their lives, but the forgiveness of God shown to us becomes more meaningful and precious. In our last broadcast, I began listing 7 reasons why, as Christians, it is necessary for us to forgive others. We are all happy and thankful to have God's mercy and forgiveness shown to us. However, to turn around and show that same mercy and forgiveness towards those who have wronged us is quite another matter. Always remember this important principle. God forgives us because of what Jesus has done for us. We are expected to forgive others because of what Jesus is doing in us. Now let's turn our attention to the 7 reasons why forgiveness is necessary. Reason number 3. We must forgive others if we want our prayers answered. Already in this series of messages, we have read a passage in Matthew chapter 6. Once more, let us consider the words of Jesus when he gives to his followers the model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It is very obvious from this passage that a person must forgive if he wants to enjoy the forgiveness of God. But what does it say about having our prayers answered? Nowhere did Jesus specifically say, "You must forgive if you want me to answer your prayers." I want to challenge you to look at the broad picture being painted by our Lord's words in these verses. Though he did not specifically command us to forgive in order to have our prayers answered, the entire lesson here is on the right motivation and form for prayer. Jesus is teaching his followers how to pray effectively, This is a model prayer. In the broader focus of how to pray, Jesus says that we are to ask for forgiveness from God, even as others have received forgiveness from us. I believe it is abundantly clear in this passage that answered prayer is based on several key ingredients: praying to glorify God, praying for the Lord's kingdom to prosper and grow, praying for God's will to be done, praying in such a way that our trust in Him as our provider is acknowledged, prayer for protection from the enemy, which is Satan, and also praying to Him as the only one who can forgive our sins. The very fact that Jesus mentions forgiving others in the context of how to pray is proof positive that in the mind of God, it is necessary for successful praying. We have an interesting aside to this point found in a verse in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is addressing husband-wife relationships. In verse 7 of that chapter, he makes an interesting statement. Listen to his words. "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Notice the last phrase of that verse, "so that nothing will hinder your prayers." What is the condition for unhindered prayer? It is to treat your wife with respect and dignity. To do that, we must practice Christ-like forgiveness towards each other within marriage and the home. Once again, God's Word emphasizes that forgiveness is necessary to answered prayer. Reason number 4. We must forgive because unforgiveness is a contradiction to Christ's leadership through the Spirit. Put another way, a person unwilling to forgive others is in disobedience to God and is not following the Spirit's leadership. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." My friend, that is not a recommendation or a suggestion. It is a commandment. We read these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Listen as I read Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18. "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him." I could go on all day reading scriptures that command us to have a loving and forgiving heart towards those who have wronged us. Jesus himself said, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn him the other also." Yes, if we are going to be followers of God, if we want to live lives in obedience to Christ and under the loving leadership of the Holy Spirit, we will be willing to forgive those who have wronged us. God never condones an unforgiving spirit, and the Holy Spirit never leads us to be unforgiving towards others. Reason number 5. If we want to go on with Christ, we must be willing to forgive. You may be wondering what I mean by going on with Christ. Let me attempt to explain it. You see, my friend, the Christian life is a moving, growing, progressive thing. Every biblical analogy of the Christian's life implies progression and growth. The Christian life begins with a new birth, but as we learn to feed on the milk of God's Word, we will grow and mature. God's goal is that someday we will be able to take the strong meat of the Word. Psalm 1 likens the godly man to a tree that has been planted. That tree is prosperous and productive. As it grows, it becomes a blessing to others. The Christian life is a journey, not an isolated event. But there are many things that can bring that walk with God to a standstill, and an unforgiving heart is one of them. Listen to these words found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." The King James Version says to pursue peace. Be aggressive about it. Take the initiative to make peace. Another verse that says almost the same thing is Psalm 34, 14. "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Can you see, Christian friend, that to pursue peace involves seeking forgiveness where we have wronged others and granting forgiveness towards those who have wronged us? If unforgiveness is disobedience to God, then forgiveness is obedience. And obedience is always necessary if we are to continue growing and progressing in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that nothing will stop you in your journey to Christ-likeness.